All right. Well, first off, I want us to say thank you to Pastor Broyhill, even though he's not here, for allowing me the opportunity to stand here and preach. And thank y'all for being a faithful church family, for being here. Even when you know Pastor's not here, thank y'all for being here. And I want to thank y'all for the encouragement that you are to me personally. Just the family that I have here in the church that's not my actual family. My family's scattered all over the country. But I really feel at home here, and I don't take that lightly, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the Spirit. If you have your Bibles tonight, you turn to Romans chapter number 5 this evening. I probably won't move a whole lot from right up here. Part of that's nerves, and part of that's just in case this microphone goes out. Mainly nerves. But Romans chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse 6 here in just a minute. But tonight I want to look at the love of God. And love is one of the key attributes of God throughout the Bible. And it's mentioned over again in Scripture. And this evening, I want to look at three truths concerning the love of God and His love towards us. The book of Romans is filled with salvation and filled with knowledge of who we are, but who God is also. And I want to look at Romans 5, starting in verse number 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and to proclaim your word. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that you would be magnified in what's said tonight. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought and mind, and clarity of speech, Lord, that I would say only the things that would please you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn more about your love tonight and about what it means to be loved by you. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we dive into the passage here, looking at the love of God, the first thing I want to look at is that his love is causeless. We see that in verse number 6. He says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." You know, have you ever heard a child or children talking? They'll talk to one another. They'll say, if you'll do this, I'll be your friend. You know, if you'll give me this, I'll be your friend. Or we can be friends if you'll share your toys with me. Or I'll share my toys with you if you'll be my friend. That's conditional love. Thankfully, that's not what Jesus gives us. Amen. Jesus never says, "I'll love you if." He just says, "I'll love you." It's without a cause. God doesn't have any reason to show us love. The Bible says that we were without strength in verse 6. When we were yet without strength, we aren't strong enough to reach God. Man has tried before and failed. You look back at the Tower of Babel in Genesis, and you see man striving to show how strong they are and to reach God, to attain to the heights to God. They weren't strong enough. They couldn't make it. We were without strength, but in due time, no matter how hard we try, we'll never be able to deserve God's love. No matter how strong we get, you think of some of the strongest men, or I do, some of the strongest men that live, you have the, who knows, the strongest men competitions. You know, Brian Shaw, Eddie Hall, Thor the Mountain, you know, these guys are huge. They can lift ridiculous amounts of weight. But even with all their strength, they can't attain to God. The Bible says we are without strength. Even with everything they have, they make me look weak. But they're not strong. And they're not ever strong enough to reach to God. Men, they put them on a pedestal for their great strength. Not just physical strength there, but their spiritual strength. He says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, we could never be good enough to merit the love of God. We could dot every I, cross every T, and it still wouldn't be enough. We could live perfect, just like John and Charles Wesley were trying to do. They were trying to earn the favor of God. They were living right. They were doing right. They were going and preaching the gospel even. They were sharing the good news of God, memorizing scripture, trying to live the best they could. And with everything that they did, they could not reach God. They couldn't get to Him. We just can't be good enough. We look at Romans 3 in verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." God's love is not based on anything that we do. It's not based on anything that we have done. It's causeless. We can't earn it on our own. We are ungodly sinners at our best. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Amen. And if all we had to look at in the Bible was Romans 3, 10 through 12, it's kind of hopeless. Because he says, there's none righteous, there's none good, there's none that seek after God, everybody's just gone. But Paul didn't stop writing there. He continued on. In Romans 5, he said, "But God," in verse 8. So we see that it's causeless. There wasn't a reason for him to give it to us. But then we want to see that it's measureless. Verses 7 and 8, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." This is Paul talking about man's view of measureless love. Romans 5, 7 there. "For us it's hard enough to imagine dying for a good person. We wouldn't even think of dying for somebody who hated us." You know, there are some people who become soldiers, people who join the Army, the Navy. They put their lives on the line for people who they love. They put their lives on the line for good people, people who they want to make a difference for. But Jesus Christ, He didn't come for the good people. He didn't die for only the people who were good or who were trying to do good. He said for the ungodly in verse 6, "For scarcely will He die." But that's what Christ did. Amen. Christ died for the ones that were unrighteous. Not just the righteous, not just for the good people. "But God commendeth His love toward us." That word "commendeth" means He showed His love. "In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Before we even sought God, before we even were looking for Him, God didn't wait until everyone was right before He sent His Son to die on a cross. God sent His Son so that we could become right. Because we could never be good enough. We looked at that before. We can't be good enough. He covered that in chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. We can't attain to God. Therefore, He sent His Son to die when we were without hope, while we were yet sinners. John 1, 10 through 11 says, "He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not." You know, Jesus came to this earth to give His life for people who could care less about Him. People who just didn't want to hear His message. Those are the people who Jesus died for. Those are the people who Jesus came to show God's love to. Yes, praise His name. The people who rejected Him, the people who crucified Him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen. It was measureless. There wasn't a cause for it, but He gave it without even holding anything back. There was no end to it. Jesus knew, because He was God. God's omniscient, He's all-knowing. Jesus knew before He came what He was coming for. He knew the cross was on His future. He knew that He was looking forward to having to die, to put your sin and my sin on His shoulders, to suffer. Everything that He went through, everything He endured on the cross was for you and me. Jesus was innocent. He didn't deserve any of that. Isaiah 53 talks about that He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Jesus endured it all for you and for me. Amen. That's the measure of His love. It's given without measure. That's a picture of Him on the cross. It doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you are what color your skin is, how much money you have or don't have. Jesus loves you, amen, and he gave his life for you. Amen. So we've seen that it's causeless. It's undeserved. It's measureless. It was given beyond what could be expected. And the last thing we want to see here is that it's ceaseless. It's given without an end. Verses 9 through 11 here and verse 21. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Then we see in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The love of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross justifies us and it keeps us. God will never stop loving us, amen, because he is love. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Not that he has love or that he shows love, but that he is love. It's his very nature. If God stopped loving us, he would cease to be God. He can't stop loving us. It's who he is. Even when we were enemies, in verse 10, he says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Now that we've received him, how much more are we brought back to him? When we realize that Jesus knew who he would be when he was dying on the cross, Jesus knew the sins we would commit, the times that we would turn our backs on him. He saw all of that. He knew all of that. But he still chose to die. He looked ahead in time. 2,000 years ago, he looked across time and space. He saw you and me. And he said, they're worth it. He said, I love them. And they're worth every stripe. They're worth every time somebody spit on me. They're worth every drop of blood that I shed here today. That's the measurelessness, the ceaselessness of God's love. It's impossible for us to understand God's love. I want to close with this illustration. When the California gold fever broke out, a man went there, leaving his wife in New England with his boy. As soon as he got on and was successful, he was to send for them. It was a long time before he succeeded, but at last he got money enough to send for them. The wife's heart leaped for joy. She took her boy to New York, got on board a Pacific steamer, and sailed away to San Francisco. They had not been long at sea before the cry of fire, fire, rang through the ship, and rapidly it gained on them. There was a powder magazine on board, and the captain knew the moment the fire reached the powder, every man, woman, and child must perish. They got out the lifeboats, but they were too small. In a minute, they were overcrowded. The last one was just pushing away when the mother pled with him to take her and her boy. No, they said, we've got as many as we can hold. She entreated them so earnestly that at last they said they would take one more. You think she leaped into that boat and left her boy to die? No. She seized her boy, gave him one last hug, kissed him, and dropped him over into the boat. My boy, she said, if you live to see your father, tell him that I died in your place. This is just a faint picture of what Christ did on the cross. Because he literally died in our place. He died for us. It was our sins that nailed him to the cross. Amen. The love of God is causeless. We didn't deserve it. It's measureless. It's given beyond what we could expect. And it's ceaseless. It's given without an end. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the love that you've shown to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to never get over your love, or to never lose sight of how much you truly love us and care for us. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take your word, apply it to our lives on a daily basis. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name.